Well, you know, one of the things that has been decreed over this ministry, you know, God has spoken many things and released words over this ministry, about this ministry, and we must take those words not lightly. And God is looking, you know, a lot of times we enjoy words that are spoken by the Spirit of God, either to us personally or to us in a setting, and we need to not, I want to say, take them seriously, but we need to honor that which is spoken and go back and feed upon it. And as the scripture says, we need to wage a good warfare with those words, and they become our armor in fighting the good fight of faith. And so one of the things that been spoken over this church right from the beginning, something that was given to Pastor Sarah back in 1980, the Holy Ghost gave them a motto for this church, where the love of God is evident. The Word of God is taught, the Spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. And so often, you know, we need to decree that and take that to heart. And God is looking for people to profess that and to decree it, not only just decree it, but take it to heart and to act upon it. In other words, you can make that profession. Yes, it was spoken over that ministry, but what is a ministry made up of? People. And people can take that and should take it to heart and say, I am a place, meaning me, I am a place where the love of God is evident. I am a place where the Word of God is received and taught, meaning through me. And I am one that is led, where the Spirit of God is leading. He's leading me. And I am a place, I am one where the power of God is manifested, not only in me, but through me. And so if we each do that, and we begin to profess that, then what happens? It begins to change the atmosphere of a church, of a setting. It could even be your home. It can be, it starts with us individually. And if we take that to heart and we begin to act upon it, it'll change us and change the people we interact with. But the words, God is looking for a what? A voice, not just faith. You know, it's in the Hebrews 11:6, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, and he that cometh unto God must believe what? That he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So as we seek him, as we act upon the word of God, he will do what? He will watch over his word to perform it. This is what Isaiah 55:11 says. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall what? Not return unto me void. This is what the King James says in Isaiah 55:11. And it says, but it shall accomplish. It doesn't say maybe. It says, it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So, you know, you could even look at this and say, when God decrees something, this was spoken under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost through Isaiah. And so, through the prophet Isaiah, he wrote these things under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And so God is speaking by his Spirit and says, it says here, it, what? The word shall accomplish that which I please. So God is going to find somebody to speak the word of God where it can be accomplished in a setting. So if one person doesn't do it, he's going to find somebody who is yielded enough to speak his word so he can what? Act upon it and bring forth that which he has spoken. So the things that God has spoken to us individually, he needs it to be voiced. Faith is what? Voice activated. Faith has to be spoken. And so, you know, maybe you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, guess what? Unless you speak it, it's not going to come to pass. You can't think it into existence. You know, just in natural things that we endeavor to do in life, what do? When we think of something to do and we've set our hearts to do it, what do? We begin to act upon that which we've thought. We believe it in our heart. Sometimes we'll just say, I'm going to do that. What? You begin to think about it. You began to meditate on it. You've been pondering it. And you do what? You begin to act upon it and you move in that direction. And this is what faith is. Faith is acting like the Bible is so. And so we have, this is, you know, I'm not trying to compare natural faith with spiritual faith, but the example is similar in that regard, that those things that we believe in our heart, just from a natural standpoint, and we begin to meditate upon them and we begin to act upon them, and we do what next? We begin to voice it. I'm going to do this, or I am doing this, or I'm going to pursue this, or I'm going to achieve this. What, you didn't think it. You thought it first, but you don't think it into existence. You begin to believe upon it and do what? Voice it. You begin to speak it. And, you know, again, always remember, in Genesis chapter 1, it says, we are made in the image and likeness of God. And so we are what? We are, God is a spirit. John chapter 4 and verse 24, God is a spirit. So what does that mean? If we're made in the image and likeness of God, we are a spirit. And that means that we do what? We have a God-like nature, meaning that those things that we speak are creative. And so we need to keep that in mind. God is looking for a voice here in the earth. He's looking for his body to speak, to believe him, and to speak his word, and to speak that which he directs us to speak, believe for and speak. So confession, or you can say the confession of the God's word, is what? Faith's way of expressing itself. In other words, faith is voice activated. Faith sees the answer. We see something and we decree it. We pronounce it. So wrong thinking. If you think wrong, then you're going to believe wrong. And if you continue to do that, you're going to start talking wrong. You're going to speak some things. This is where it says death, Proverbs 18, death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we want to make sure that we're speaking what? Life. We're speaking things that produce good. Glory to God. So let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 4:13. And these are familiar scriptures. But in the King James, faith, this is what we're saying here this evening. Faith believes and does what? Speaks what it believes. So the spirit of faith enables you to do what? Face the storms of life and overcome. So 2 Corinthians 4:13 in the King James, it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I have believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. And then the Passion Translation, says, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed, then I spoke in faith. So we also first believe, then do what? Speak in faith. So when we speak, it's something that we believe in our heart. So those things that you believe in your heart, you speak. You know, just in the natural. If you spend enough time around people, they will begin to tell you what they believe. And that's their faith speaking. And that's why it's important, and we've shared this so many times, it's important what you spend your time listening to and reading and the people you're around and the things that you dwell upon and meditate upon, because you can begin to form opinions based on information. And then those opinions are meant to do what? It means that your opinion was based on things that you kept feeding upon, thought upon, and you formed an opinion. In other words, the scripture says you considered something. So when you consider something, you did what? You weighed all this information and you formed an opinion. And that opinion then begins to affect your belief. And this is exactly what the devil is doing through all the avenues in society, is he wants people to form an opinion that's anti-God, because he hates God. And so everything the devil does through all the mediums is to do what? Create an opinion that's anti-God, and then people keep feeding upon that and form similar opinions. That's why it's important that what we feed upon, what we read, what we listen to in music, what kind of movies we watch, what we read, if we find ourselves forming opinions about something that's not God-like or in the Word of God, we need to do what? Cut it off. Stop doing it. You know, and each one of us, you know, we're all not perfect. You know, our spirits are perfect, but this mind has to constantly, and our soul has to constantly be renewed. So as we begin to grow in the things of God, God will begin to speak to us by his spirit and say, don't do that anymore. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to watch that. I don't want you to listen to that. Why? Because he knows that ultimately is not for your good. And that you, if you keep doing it, it can cause you to form some opinions that are not in the Word of God and that are not based in the love of God for people. And God is wanting us to do what? Love people. And the devil is full of what? He wants to separate, divide, cause people to do what? Hate one another. We see that in society. And so God is love. And so he wants us to love people and do what? In other words, if you just keep reading 1 Corinthians 13, believe the best of every person. Well, how do you do that if you keep feeding upon things in this world that form opinions about people or groups of people? How can you love them? You've created an opinion based on something, some lie that the devil's feeding through people. And so this is why it's so important that we believe, we think right, we believe right, and we speak right. Glory to God. So we need to continually affirm or confess what the Word of God says. And so let's look at one more scripture here. This is the Living Bible, the TLB, 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, we boldly say what we believe, trusting God to care for us. Just as the psalm writer did when he said, I believe, and therefore I speak. So we need to boldly say what we believe. And of course, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith. We regulate our lives. We walk by faith and not by sight, not by our feelings, not by, you know, what we're confronted with in life. We walk by faith. The spirit of faith is unlimited. It's possibility faith. That means all things are possible to those who do what? Believe. And, you know, you could say in the natural, there's no such thing as unchallenged faith. Your faith is going to be challenged. So this is why, and I want to read this particular translation. It's actually a paraphrase called the Johnson paraphrase of Mark 11:23. And reason I want to read this at this point is that we need to boldly say what we believe and not become disconnected or separated from the words that we speak, that we believe. So this is the Johnson paraphrase, Mark 11:23. It says, "Truly, anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder, saying, 'Dump yourself in the lake,' and does not become separated from the statements he makes, that person will actualize his statement. When anyone's expression in prayer is congruent with his inner being, his desire will be actualized." So what are we saying here? In other words, the things that you decree, the things that you believe, then you don't become separated from that. You ever notice, just in the natural, if you have made a decision to do something, you don't say one thing one time and then become separated from that. You don't say, "Well, we're going on this special trip," and then you turn around and go, "Well, I don't know. Maybe we will, maybe we won't." But if you've already made a decision to do it, if you've already believed in your heart, you're moving in that direction, whatever it is, I'm just using that as an example, you don't say one thing one time and something else another. You don't become separated from that which you believe and say. And God is saying that Mark 11:23, whosoever, just in the King James, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea," and shall not what? Doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, see, don't doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you say. That's the same thing that Johnson is saying. It's saying, don't become separated from that which you speak. So let's continue. Let's look at Hebrews 10:23. In the Amplified Classic, I think this is kind of connects here. It says, "Let us seize and hold fast and retain," see, "without wavering, the hope we cherish and confess," and what? "Our acknowledgement of it." That's your profession or confession of it. "For he who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word." So what is this saying? This is expanding on this. You know, the King James says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." This says, "Let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it." So we need to hold fast without wavering. And it's not just, you know, we confess it once. What did it say? We're to hold fast and retain without wavering. That means a continual confession or profession of what we believe in our heart. It's a continual acknowledgement and profession of what we believe in our heart. Praise God. So faith, again, is acting like the Bible is true. We are to speak to the mountain, not speak about the mountain. We're to speak to it and decree and command it to be cast into the sea. So this word profession, when it says we are to make a good profession, this word in the Greek is homologia. It just means to continually speak what we believe. It means to profess the same thing that God says. Now, this is the RIV translation. This is the Rick Renner International version, or interpretive version, I'm sorry, the Renner interpretive version of Hebrews 10:23. It says, let us come into agreement with God and then begin to speak what he says, holding tightly to what we confess and refusing to let anyone take it from us. So in other words, what are we saying? Our faith and our words must be connected together. They cannot be separate. They can't be different. What we believe in our heart and what we speak can't change. And what we believe in our heart shouldn't be something different than what we say with our mouth. So we need to have both the same. Our faith, what we believe in our heart, and our words must be the same. They must be connected. So our faith activates the power of God. So let's take for a few moments, let's go back and look at Hebrews 11:1 in the King James. And we're familiar now, faith is what? The substance or the ground or the support of things hoped for or the expectation, things expected. The evidence, what's the evidence? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. This is the authentic translation. That's why I like to look at different translations. This says, now faith forms a solid ground for our expectations, the proof of unseen actualities. So our faith forms the solid ground for things expected. What does that mean? What's the solid ground? The Word of God. Faith is based upon the will of God, what God's will is. So faith in His Word, the Word of God, is the solid ground on which our expectations are based on. So this is the Knox translation of Hebrews 11:1. It says, what is faith? It is that which gives substance to our hopes, which convinces us of things we cannot see. That's so good. So when the revelation of God's word, when the unfolding of God's word dawns upon our heart, when we begin to see and to know something in the word of God, we're convinced. And so what does that mean? That's where faith begins, when there's a conviction, a knowing, a revelation of a scripture or a truth in God's word, we begin to know it. It becomes rhema, is another word. And so that word, that rhema word, then has to be what? Spoken. So when I see something in the Word of God, my experience may be different. Things that are going on in my life might be different. And God is revealing a truth to my heart, and I begin to do what? Come against those natural circumstances, or Mark 11:23, those mountains, and what? Based on faith, because if you go back and look at Mark 11:22, it says, have faith in God or have the faith of God. And then it continues in verse 23 when it says, and what? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain. So isn't that a wonderful thing? This isn't just for Jesus. He said, whosoever. So this will work for anyone who does what? Believes in their heart the truth of God's word. And so we can begin to, based on that unfolding and revealing of God's word, we can begin to do what? Speak to the circumstances of life and begin to overcome them by faith. But faith has to be what? Spoken and released. And what? God watches over his word to produce the end result. He causes the things to change. But we have to believe what we know, what we see, and then what? We have to speak it. And once we speak it, then the power of God is activated in our life. So let's look at the Passion Translation of Hebrews 11:1. And it says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed. What's the foundation? Faith. Faith is the substance, right? It's the foundation, the ground we read, the solid ground. Well, this says that faith brings our hopes, our expectations into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence. Faith is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. That's why people who walk through difficult times in their life can stand flat-footed. That's why when the Word of God says that we are to dig down deep and build our foundation on a solid rock so that when the winds of life blow, we will not be blown away. But it said if you build your house on sand, you build your foundation on sand, it says the wind rose and it says it blew everything away. So we are to do what? Build our foundation on the rock, on the Word of God. It's the solid ground. That's what that authentic translation said. Now, faith forms a solid ground for our expectations, the proof of unseen actualities. It's, I can see in the natural, this is that it, I don't have it yet, but God is showing me something either by his Spirit or in the Word of God. He unfolds and reveals something that's a promise. It's already paid for by the blood of Jesus. It's part of your redemptive realities. It's part of something that's promised because of redemption. And so we can form a solid ground on that and begin to do what? Expect it. But it has to be continually voiced. It has to be continually spoken. And that's why when it talks about Abraham, he staggered not, what? At the promise of God through unbelief. And neither should we stagger at the promises of God through unbelief. But we are to do what? Build our foundation, and in the Word of God becomes that solid foundation. And then when it is, we can do what? As Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God, but anyone who comes to him must do what? Believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, what does that mean, diligently? That's the same thing. You can look at that and see. Diligently means not just I come to you once and that's it. Diligently means I'm acknowledging you continually and professing that you're watching over your word to perform it, that I have what you said I can have. Hallelujah. So faith's confessions create realities. Faith's confessions, faith confessing the Word of God creates realities or creates that which I expect. Same thing. You could say the same thing. So let's read this. Let's read this in the Weymouth translation, Mark 11:23, in the Weymouth translation. It says, "In solemn truth, I tell you that if anyone shall say to this mountain, remove and hurl thyself into the sea, and has no doubt about it in his heart, but steadfastly believes that what he says will happen, it shall be granted him." What was that? Let's go back and see that again. Read it again. "In solemn truth, I tell you," this is Jesus speaking, "that if anyone shall say to this mountain, remove and hurl thyself into the sea, and has no doubt about it in his heart, but steadfastly believes that what he says will happen, it shall be granted him." So this word, I just like this word steadfastly. It just means to be immovable. That means immovable in what? In what you believe and what you just said. And immovable in what you believe. It means you're firm in your belief. It means you're determined. You're loyal. You're steady. You're constant. That means you're not changing. So if you said it yesterday, or you said it 3 months from now, or 5 years from now, it's constant. You're determined. You're steadfast in your belief. And God's word, he said, "I change not." So if he changes not, and our faith is built on that solid foundation, then neither should we. And God, if he doesn't change, if he doesn't change his will, then what? I should neither. I shouldn't be changing mine, thinking that, well, maybe God changed his mind. No, he didn't. So let's take a quick look here. This is in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 10. This is the story of the centurion coming to Jesus. And starting in verse 5, this is the King James. It says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." So he's sharing a condition to him. He's telling him what's going on. "And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him." Isn't it interesting? The centurion didn't ask him to come. He didn't say, "Jesus, please come and heal my servant." Jesus, he said, here's what's going on. My servant's, you know, home, you know, grievously vexed and tormented. And Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." He's doing what? He had to have believed that Jesus had the authority to do that, because he's professing his faith at that point. He's speaking something that he believes. He must have heard something about Jesus, because otherwise, why did he come? He knew Jesus was a healer. He was the Son of God. And so he heard something that stirred his faith. And so he's now professing his faith. He's saying, "Just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. and to another come and he cometh, and to my servant do this and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And so for us, he said, so great faith. So believing God and not wavering, being steadfast in his promises, seeking God and doing what? Creating your foundation upon the word of God and not wavering from it. And if we decree what we believe and we doubt not, we are going to have it. Your flesh may say otherwise, your mind may say otherwise, but when you release words in faith and you begin to speak that which you believe, you're going to have it. You're going to actualize it. You're going to see it come to pass. And it may take some time, but you keep speaking the word of God. You know, I as we close, I wanted to share this. This is a couple that graduated from Rhema Bible Training Center, or now Rhema Bible Training College, but it was Rhema Bible Training Center when they graduated. This was a couple that graduated the same year as Pastor Clinton and Sarah, 1980. And they moved their family. They were impressed to go to Panama into the jungles. And they went into the jungles and they said National Geographic stated that this is the most dense, remote jungle, period. And it's in, now I don't know, I have no idea, but they're just saying this is what National Geographic quoted. And this was an area called Darien, D-A-R-I-E-N, Panama. And they've been missionaries there from 1981 until the present. And their ministry is called VIDA, V-I-D-A, Ministries. But this is their story. Just briefly, it'll bless you. It says, when we first moved to Darien, it was a very spiritually dark place. Witchcraft ruled. The devil used the spirit of fear to control everyone. It was the law that governed his kingdom. They called him, meaning the people there, called him the evil eye and thought he was always watching them 24/7. When Dennis is her husband, she's referring to him as Denny. When Denny began teaching the word of God, he began teaching the character of God. As the word of God began to take root in their hearts, change began. He taught on how God spoke everything into being by the power of his word. There was no sin in God, so all of heaven stood behind the words that he spoke. The law of unconditional love governed heaven. When Adam sinned, he was still a child of God, but he lost the authority behind the words he spoke. He explained how the devil, this is her husband explaining to the people, he explained how the devil ruled the earth after Adam sinned until Jesus came, right? Because the devil was defeated, and so now his body is in the earth and the authority has been given back to the church. So she continues, when Jesus came, he had no sin in him. He spoke with authority. Even the winds in the sea obeyed him. He radiated how deeply God the Father loved his children. He healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils to break the authority of the devil over God's children. There wasn't anything that he did not have power over. The witch doctors tried everything to kill Denny. This is her husband, to prevent him from teaching the word of God. The Indians watched Dennis stand against the witch doctors without any fear. He used to say, fear is not in my vocabulary. Little by little, Dennis began establishing churches and teaching the people that fear had no power over them. they could stand in authority and speak God's word and defeat the devil. When the revelation came, it changed everything in Darien. This is in Panama in the jungles. Now, this was the part, I was reading this a few days ago because she posts on Facebook a lot, and she's, you know, I don't know why, but she sent me a Facebook friend request and I accepted that. So I read her posts, and she has a book out also. But this was part of her, this post she made. She said this: the most powerful witch doctor in Colombia and Panama shared this testimony. He said, meaning the witch doctor, every child of God has the name of Jesus written in blood on their forehead. In the supernatural realm, the light on their foreheads penetrates all the darkness. A horn blows and says, there's a child of the Most High God walking in the area. And this is what he said. He said, we hope that they do not know that they are bearers of the most powerful name in the universe. And this witch doctor continued, we hope they do not know that the authority of the spoken word of God, that every demon, sickness, circumstance has to come to a screeching halt and bow their knee because the spoken word of God holds the final authority. And I'll tell you, sometimes it's good to hear testimonies like this from people, and I'm assuming, she doesn't say, but I'm assuming this witch doctor came to Christ and is now sharing this, but he said, we hope that they do not know, meaning the Christian does not know that they are bearers of the most powerful name in the universe. We hope that they do not know that the authority of the spoken word of God is what? The final authority. So we need to take stock of what we have, and that when we feed upon the word of God and we speak it, it's creative. It will change circumstances. It will push back darkness. It will take over and regain and capture back regions and areas that have been taken hold by the devil. And so we need to walk with a sense of, you know, royalty and know that we are God's body, his children, and that we have been seated. You know, I had everybody say this morning at prayer. We are saved, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, and we are seated with him. So in Christ, I'm saved, I am sealed in him, and I am what? Seated with him. And so just always remember, and you know, as we close, that the word of God is precious, and that as we feed upon it, and that as it's unfolded to our spirit, our hearts, we then speak it, it begins to change and overcome the circumstances in our lives and the mountains that get formed in our life to try to stop us. Just like this testimony, they were trying to stop him. The witch doctors were trying to stop him from sharing the word of God. And he said, fear's not of my vocabulary. And what? As the word of God continued to go forth and continued to go forth, it got in the hearts of the people and it changed that area. Began to change that area. So praise God. Take that to heart. Keep feeding, keep watering. And those things that, you know, circumstances in your life, they'll change. They will change. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a light unto our path. And we thank you that it is our solid rock which we depend upon. And so we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And before we close, if there's anybody watching, there may be, I don't know, but we never, you know, we never leave this setting without giving someone an opportunity to know Christ and to accept him as Lord. And the scripture says that we are to do what? Believe in our heart that God, we're to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. That's the key. And to do what? Believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And it says, you shall be saved. So let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Savior of the world. And so I ask him to come into my life. I ask him and believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart and to cleanse me of unrighteousness with your blood. Seal me with your spirit. And I thank you, Father, that I am saved. If you said that simple prayer and you meant that in your heart, then give us a shout out. Send us an email at rlcc at redeeminglovecc.org, or you can mail us that information on the screen or call us 845-623-9300 and let us know that you received Jesus in your heart, and we'll send you some free information. We'll pray with you. Praise God.